In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, God said, "Get out of your country and from your kindred and your father's house unto a land that I will show you." God said, "I'm going to show you this land. I'm not going to just sit here and talk to you about this land. I'm not going to draw you a map of this land. I'm not going to tell you where the green pastures are. Not going to tell you where the best neighborhoods are. I'm not going to explain to you their weather pattern. I just want to show it to you." There's a state out in the Midwest. It's called the Show Me State. Don't just tell me about the goodness and the love and the grace and the mercies of God. Show me. Moses told God. He said, "Show me thy glory, God." Don't we want God to show us his glory? Not just tell us about it, write to us about it. We want God to show his glory to us. To the children of Israel, he showed them his mercy. He showed them his goodness and his long suffering. He says, "Yet when I showed you the water that came out of the rock and flowed like rivers, you still question whether or not I could prepare a table in the wilderness." So God led Abraham to a land that he wanted him to possess. And he showed him this land. God is ready to show you his glory. Joshua told the children of Israel when they were getting ready to cross over the Jordan. He says, "From this day on, you're going to know that the living God is among you." They would know because of what they would see. They would observe the workings of God. They would see him dry up the river Jordan. "From this day forward, you're going to know that the living God is among you." What God will show us will be hard to believe. What God tells us to do will not always make sense. When we debate with God and trust in our own common sense, it's like a moral blasphemy against God. The call of God sometimes may embarrass us because it comes to us in sealed orders. When God calls us, he does not always tell us what we can expect. Faith never knows where it's going all the time, but it knows and it loves the one that's leading us. It's a life of faith, not one of intellectual reasoning. Abraham was called despite all of his limitations and his weaknesses. He was called and he obeyed. This life of Abraham is filled with minute instructions with regard to the life of faith. The call of God can never be stated explicitly. It is implicit. The call of God is like the call of the sea or the call of the mountains. No one hears these calls but the one who has the nature of the sea or the nature of the mountain hears them. No one hears the call of God who has not the nature of God in him, because this call is unto a called out relationship with God himself. When God came to Abraham and told him he wanted him to leave his home country, his kindred, I don't believe that this was the first conversation that he had with God. I believe that they had a dialogue for a long time. And Abraham had come to trust him. Abraham trusted God When God said, I want you to go to a place and I will show you, Abraham started packing. Sarah, no doubt, disagreed with his thought at first. I believe she thought that this is crazy. But if Abe says, let's do it, I'm going to do it. I know that here lately he's been talking to this God of his, this one that he found one day while roaming the hillsides. He believes in this God, and if Abe believes in it, I will too. Isn't that a marvelous thing that you can have a relationship with God to the place that your family believes you, that your family can trust in your relationship with God? We find that Lot's nephew trusted Abraham's relationship with God. When God told Abraham to go south, Lot decided he wanted to go with Abraham. No doubt he had witnessed a change in the life of Abraham. And he thought that there is something different about Uncle Abe. He used to worship those idols just like we did. But now he never goes to our worship services anymore. He goes out by himself and he talks to one that he calls God. I've seen a change in his life. I want to be a part of Abraham's life. Isn't that a marvelous testimony? That even the pagans, even those who worship idols, can see such a change in your life that they too want to be a part of this that you are involved with. Oh, that is a wonderful testimony. You can have this same kind of a testimony. If there's a place that you go and you worship God in private, if the only time that you can raise your hands and you can sing God's praises is when they fire up the music down at the church, if the only time you can cut a dance before the Lord is when the music is blaring and the guitars are ringing and the drums are drumming, if this is the only time that you can dance before the Lord, you're missing out on a golden opportunity to walk daily with Him, to worship Him daily. I've asked you today, create a place of worship to God. I'm going to stop the lesson right here, but I do want to mention the fact that every born-again believer that's lived a victorious Christian life, that's had the power of God working in their lives on a daily basis, all have had a special place of private worship, a place of private prayer and reading the scriptures. If you want power with God, find yourself a private place, a personal place where it is just you and God.